Okay, we just praise God for our service today. We thank God for the communion, which was so awesome. That communion just touched my heart. That was so good. And worship was good. Worship touched my heart too. It was just awesome and good. Woo, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It was just wonderful. It was just wonderful. And I'm going to try to get to the Word of God for today. I really am. But I do love the Lord and I do love His presence. And He is so awesome and He is so good. Yes, He is. He really is. He really is. He really is. So getting to the word for today, about 2 weeks ago, I was laying in my bed, I think it was in the morning time, and I was just meditating and thinking about the goodness of God, and I was actually thinking about some of the people I knew that had been contending in the faith for different things, for healing or whatever you might have been seeking God for and wanting, you know, the manifestation of the thing you were contending for. And a lot has happened in 2 weeks since that 2 weeks when I was thinking about that. And but the Lord began to speak to me. And I began thinking about receiving from the Lord. And the Lord began to speak to me and give me a clear revelation on receiving everything that He has for us and whatever we want to get from Him. And He kind of gave me a clearer understanding and a deeper revelation of a scripture that I want to share today with you. I want to lay a foundation first, so I'm going to share the revelation that God gave me on the end. And some of you might already have it, but I didn't have it. He made it clearer to me. So I'm going to share what He gave to me. And at first, I didn't know God wanted me to share it, and I didn't want to share it at first because I said, Lord, maybe I don't know. I know how I receive, but I don't know if I can really teach someone else or impart to them what You've given me. But I found out the Lord wanted me to share it. He wants me to share it, so I'm going to share it. So the word for the day, or the subject for the day, is receiving through faith. Receiving through faith. God had given us everything at the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, and He's given to us by grace. And our job is to receive what grace has provided for us. So, and there are many ways to receive. It's up to us how we receive. It's our choice about receiving. But receiving always has to come through faith if we're dependent on God to partner with us in that receiving. And we receive different ways. And sometimes people receive everything they have, they need, by just believing and receiving through faith. And sometimes people receive and partner with maybe medication or doctors or you know, other ways what they need. But if we're going to get the best, which is from God, you know, His best way is His best way for us. His best way for me might be different from His best way for you. But if we're going to receive from God His best way for us at that particular time in our lives that we're looking to receive, then we need to receive through faith. Through faith. And at first I had received by faith. But the Lord corrected me. We walk by faith, but we don't receive by faith. We receive through faith. Why do I say that? Why do I say we receive through faith? We receive through faith because faith is the vehicle which God sends something to us. Through means something is coming from somewhere else to you through something. So we receive through faith. We walk by faith. Receive through faith. And let me go to scripture and show you what I'm talking about. I'm going to go back to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. New King James Version. For by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And let's go to Acts 3:16, the Passion Translation. I read that for our scripture. Faith in Jesus' name has healed this man standing before you. It is the faith that comes through believing in Jesus' name that has made the crippled man walk right in front of your eyes. So I want to say that faith is the vehicle that the power of God travels through to get us everything that God has provided for us by grace. I'm going to say that again. Faith is the vehicle. Like you get in a car in the vehicle and you get in that car and you start it and you drive that vehicle to wherever you want to go, to the grocery store, to school or work or wherever. That vehicle is what you use to get you from one place to another where you want to go. So faith is the vehicle that the power of God travels through to get us everything that God has provided for us by grace. So we're saved what? By grace through faith. How do we get everything else? By grace through faith. Okay. I also, when I was talking to the Lord about this, what he was showing me, I wanted him to go back and show me and teach me how that applied to me when I received my healings for my back and others' healings. And he did that. He did that. So I'm going to share that on the end. We receive from God by hearing, seeing, and understanding truth, the truth of God's word, the truth of the grace of God, the truth of who we are in Christ, the truth of what God has ordained as truth. And the Bible tells us what? Jesus is truth. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you want to know truth, go to Jesus. If you want to know truth, go to the word. You cannot get truth from the world. The world is not giving us truth. They're giving us realities, but these realities are not truth. There are realities in our situations. We have health realities and maybe financial realities or maybe relational realities, but those are just the realities of this world, but they are not the truth. It's in Jesus and in the Word of God that we find truth. So we receive from God by hearing, seeing, and understanding the truth. The Holy Spirit reveals as much truth to us as we are willing to receive. The Holy Spirit will reveal as much truth to us as we are willing to receive. But for this truth that we receive, how little, how much, how great. But for this truth to work in us that we receive, we have to agree with that truth for ourselves. We have to agree with that truth. There's an exchange. There's responding to the truth. There are several things that's important that we need to know in receiving through faith. Let's go to the Gospel of John 8:32. The Gospel of John 8:32. Knowing the truth is important. It's important that we know the truth, that we know God's truth, that we know the word of God. How God stands on an issue. You can't get truth from the news. You can't get truth by listening to your best buddies unless they've given you the word of God. You can't get truth from your emotions and your feelings. Truth is not in our emotions and how we feel. Truth is in the word of God and through Jesus Christ. So knowing the truth in every situation is important. Knowing the truth in every situation is important. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth And the truth, I'm inserting this in that, and the truth shall make you free. But let's look at it this way. And the truth you know shall make you free. Truth does automatically make you free. It's the truth you know that make you free. That know there in Greek is genoska. In Greek is genoska, know. And that means to allow, be aware of, feel, have knowledge, perceive, be resolved, can speak, be sure, understand, to know in a beginning or a completed sense. So we need to be aware of truth. We need to know truth. We need to perceive truth. We need to be able to speak truth and understand truth. So knowing the truth is important. Let's go to Romans 10:14. Romans 10:14, I'm reading the New King James Version. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are you going to call on someone or call on God if you have not believed in him? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Let's go to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you don't have time to go to the scripture, just jot them down so you can go back to them later. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. You got to believe that God exists. You got to believe that God is there, that he loves you, that he has sent his son, that Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins, and you have received him as your Lord and Savior. You got to believe in the goodness of God. So you got to believe that God is. He cares about you. He cares about your problems. He cares about your situation. He cares about where you are right now. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about what you're feeling. He cares about you. Whatever your state is right now, God cares. So you must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You got to know that he exists, that God is, he's good, and he's there, and he's a rewarder. If you seek him, you will find him. If you seek for an answer in him, you will find your answer. If you're seeking for whatever you need in him, you will find it. Because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's not a rewarder of the lazy. God taught me that years ago. God does not reward laziness. He doesn't reward us if we're sitting down watching TV every night and looking at our favorite show and wanting God to do something for us. And we're not diligently seeking out the truth in the word of God. He doesn't reward laziness. He told me that. He showed me that. He let me know. He did not reward me being lazy. But he rewarded me when I diligently seek him in the word of God, in prayer. Diligently. Diligently means you don't quit. You don't half-heartedly do it. You don't do it today and do it again 6 months later. But you diligently seek him on a daily, regular basis in the word of God and prayer. Let's see what Hebrews 11:6 in the Passion Translation says. Same verse, Hebrews 11:6, but the Passion Translation. And without faith, living within us. And if you're born again, you have faith living within you. And without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please him. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into seeking him. But we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into seeking him. This is not a half-hearted thing. I want you to see that. Knowing the truth, seeking the truth, when you need truth, and we all need it, it's not a half-hearted thing. You got to be diligent. You got to be passionate about it. You got to give it your all. Let's look at Romans 10:14. Go back there to Romans 10:14. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You got to hear the word of God. You got to hear that there is a God that loves you, that cares for you, that he's real. You got to hear that. You got to hear what he's done for you at the cross in Jesus. You got to hear what's yours according to the word of God. You got to hear it. And how shall they hear without a preacher? There are ordained preachers of the gospel like me and others you online. But anybody that knows the gospel, have truth in their heart, can preach the gospel to somebody. It don't take an ordained minister to preach the gospel. I want you to know that. Let's look at John 8:32. Let's go back there and look at it in the Passion Translation. We're going to kind of be going back and forth in different translation. So let's look at John 8:32 and see what the Passion Translation says. For if you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your lives. If you embrace the truth, lay hold of the truth. Perceive the truth. Embrace means you're taking something and you holding it dear to you. You put your arms around somebody, you embrace them, you draw them close. Okay, when you embrace the truth, you're putting your mind, your heart, your understanding around the truth of God's word, and you're embracing that truth. You're receiving that truth that you don't know, because you know you need that truth and you want it. You must understand that the truth you are hearing is without partiality. The truth of God's word is without partiality. It's not that truth works for one, but it won't for another. It's not that God gave truth to one group of people and didn't give it to others. God's truth is without partiality. You can have as much of it as you want. If you want truth, truth is there for you. It's without partiality. Let's look at Romans 10:13 to prove this. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is not just talking about salvation when you get born again. It includes that, but it's not just talking about that. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calls on him, I think the King James Version says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No partiality. And no partiality in the word when it comes to the truth of the word of God and getting born again and walking in that truth and the promises belonging to you. When Jesus died for one, he died for all. What he accomplished for one at the cross, he accomplished for all. What he accomplished at the cross, he accomplished for all. In the kingdom of God, everybody gets to play. You know, in a game show and stuff, you know, not everybody get to play. You know, when children are choosing sides on a baseball team or choosing that who's going to be on their team, and some children they don't want because they can't play very well. Well, in the kingdom of God, everybody gets to play. If you're in the kingdom of God, you get to play. That means you get to embrace all the promises. You get to walk in the spirit. You get to receive everything that God has for you. You get to get as much of God as you want. You get to receive every blessing, every promise. You get to know God. You get to spend time with God because he'll spend time with you. Everybody gets to play. So if you're thinking, I'm not good enough, I don't know enough, or I'm not where I should be, or God don't love me as much as he do somebody else, throw it out the window. That ain't true. In the kingdom of God, if you're in the kingdom, if you're born again, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You get to play. You get to play. Everybody get to play. Let's talk about saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. That saved there is sozo. Sozo means healed, delivered, made whole, sound. So whoever called on the name of the Lord can get healed. They can get delivered. They can get made whole. They can get made sound. No partiality. So what else is important in receiving? What you are hearing and how you are hearing is important. What you are hearing and how you are hearing is important. Very important. What you are hearing, so very important. And how you are hearing, so important. Let's look at Mark 4:23. If anyone has ears to hear, Jesus said, let them hear. I'm thinking, okay, Jesus, we all got ears. You gave us two of them. I got two. You got two. So what did he mean? If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He's not talking about the physical ears, although you need the physical ears to hear. But we all got physical ears. So why is some hearing and some not hearing? We all got ears. Some hear what he's saying. Some hear the word of God and some don't. Have you noticed that we have two ears and one mouth? All of us got two ears and one mouth. Wonder why we got two ears and one mouth. Maybe we should listen twice as much as we talk. Some of us all the time, but never really listen. So we got two ears, so we should listen twice as much as we talk. Let's look at James 1:19, the Passion Translation. See what James says about that. James 1:19, I'm going to read the Passion Translation. My dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen, but slow to speak. And be slow to become angry. My dearest brothers and sisters, talking about you, talking about me, be quick to listen. Listen more than you talk. Listen, listen. Be quick to listen. But be slow to speak. And be slow to become angry. Don't be so quick to speak. Don't be so quick-tempered and getting angry. But be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. We miss so many things because we're not quick to listen. We're not listening. Sometimes we're not listening because we think we know everything. We don't know everything. I don't know everything. You don't know everything. I don't know everything about the Word of God. I don't know everything about faith. I don't know everything about receiving. There's a whole lot I don't know. But thank God I'm willing to embrace the truth and seek him diligently to find and receive more truth. So start listening. Start listening. Listening to the word of God when you read it. Listening to the word of God when you hear it. Like me preaching it this morning or someone else preaching it to you. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Listen to what God has put in your heart. Don't let your head lead you. Don't let your emotions lead you. Listen. Be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. Let's go to Mark 4:24. I'm going to read this in the King James Version. Mark 4:24, King James Version. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Or take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. I remember when I read that, I said, what is he talking about? You know, take heed what you hear. I knew that part, you know, that meant, you know, pay attention, listen. But I didn't understand with what measure you meet. It says ye in the King James, but I'm gonna say you. What measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. One translation says, pay attention to what you are hearing. Pay attention to what you're hearing. Don't just listen, but pay attention to what you are hearing. The Passion Translation said this, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. Be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. Don't insert your own interpretation. Don't make the word of God say what you want it to say. But be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, as you be diligent to understand, meditate on the word of God, ask God questions. God, what are you saying? God, what does this mean? Holy Spirit, open up my understanding. Give me a revelation of what the word of God is saying to me. For as you do, as you are diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear, as you do this, more understanding will be given. That's what they're saying. More understanding will be given. And according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. According to the depth of your longing to understand, you got to want this thing. You got to long for the word of God. You got to long for an understanding. You got to want to understand the word of God and how to apply that word of God to you. What is God saying to you in the word of God? What is he saying? You got to want that. You got to long for it. You got to have a desire to understand. And when you do, much more will be added to you. The more effort you put into hearing the word of God will determine how much you receive from it. Did you hear me? How much effort we put into hearing the word of God will determine how much we receive from it. If you don't put much in it, you're not going to receive much out of it. If you half-heartedly hear the word of God, if you half-heartedly have this half-hearted view of the word of God, you don't view God's word as being important, then you're not going to receive much from it. You actually get more because God gives more than we give. The more diligent we put into the word of God, the more we long to hear the word of God, the more we read and meditate and ask God a question and take time in the word, the more God would give to us. When we sow into the word with all that we have, we'll reap the benefits from the word. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's not just talking about money. If you sow money in finance, you'll receive money. But if you sow your time and your effort and your heart into God's word, you will receive the benefits of that word. We sow so much time in other things. And I'm as guilty as you are. We sow so much time in entertainment and other stuff and friends and things that, I mean, it's okay to spend time with your friends. It's okay to spend time with family. But God should come first. The more we spend time in his word, and we will reap the benefits of it. God is through with this half-hearted stuff. This half-hearted stuff ain't going to work. Robert came to us third Sunday and told us, gave us a great word and what God has for a Kingdom Place church. And we can't get that half-hearted. Matter of fact, whatever you contended for the Lord for, you can't get there being half-hearted. You can't get there not getting into the word of God like you ought to. You can't get there by not giving your all to the Lord, your all to the word. Giving other stuff more time than you give God. It's time to get rid of the idols. You might not think you have an idol, but ask God about it. Ask God, is there anything you love and are spending more time with than you are him? Trust me, the Holy Spirit will let you know. He definitely will. Let's go to Mark 4:25. And I'm going to read from the King James Version again. For he that has, to him shall be given. And to he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. This is big, y'all. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. We hath, H-A-T-H, hath, is used three times in this verse. And the Greek word for hath is echo. And it means to hold. Let's read that verse again and use hold. For he that holds what? Hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the revelation of God. Hold on to what God gives him. To him shall be given. But to he that hath not, to him that holds not to the word, holds not to the revelation that God gives him. From him shall be taken even that which he holds. That little bit what you got, if you don't hold on to it by seeking more from the Lord, the enemy is going to come and steal that little bit you got. He that holds to what he has. The way we respond to the word of God will determine how much more we will get. The way we respond to the word of God will determine how much more we will get. This verse is speaking of holding the truth of God's word in our hearts. Holding the truth of God's word in the heart. The parable of the sower, there was only one group in the sower that held on to the word of God that got to their heart. The first group, the word didn't even get there. It fell by the wayside. The next group, some word got there, but they didn't hold on to it. Persecution came and all that came, and they let the word go because of the persecution. That last group was the one that held on to the word of God that was in their heart because they had an understanding. They understood that I need this word. I need it in my heart. And the more I keep this word, the more I hold on to it, the more I look at the word of God and say it's precious. Precious is the word of God. Then the more I will get. Those who love and protect God's word at all costs, more will be given. Those who love and protect God's word at all costs, more will be given. But to those who neglect what God has shown them, the few things they have will be taken from them. If you neglect what God has shown you, the little few things you think you got will be taken from you. It means that people will lose their revelations if they don't use them. Oh my goodness. How many times have I in my past neglected the word of God? And that word of God didn't stick because I didn't hold on to it. I didn't dig into the word of God. I didn't seek God out with that revelation. I just thought I got a surface level and thought I had it because I got a surface level of it. And I didn't go deep into the word of God and get that revelation planted in my heart. But to those who neglect what God has shown them, the few things they have will be taken from them. You cannot work the revelation of God's word in your heart will not work if you only have a shadow view of it. You don't have a deep understanding. That word is not grounded and rooted in your heart. So we'll lose our revelation if we don't use them. Why would God give us more revelation of truth if we aren't using what we already have? If you're not using what you have, guess what? The enemy's going to come along and he's going to challenge that word in you, that revelation you have. And if it's not rooted and grounded, he's going to take that word from you. He's going to take it from you. It's up to us to have the word rooted in our hearts. It's up to us to have the word rooted in our hearts and be walking in the truth we know. You can only walk in the truth you know. I can only walk in the truth I know. We can only walk in the truth we know. So we got to have that word rooted in us, in our hearts, so that we'll be able to walk in the truth we know. So how do you know that you know a truth? How do you know you know a truth? When that truth is bearing fruit in your life, you know it. If you were just spouting off something off the top of your head, and you don't have no evidence of it in your life, it's not bearing fruit, then you really don't know that truth. You don't know that truth. If there's no fruit, no evidence of it in your life, you don't know it. And you need to know it. You don't know it yet, but you need to know it. You need to know it. Mark 4:25. For those who listen, Mark 4:25, I'm going to read the Passion Translation. For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. If you listen with open hearts to the word of God, when you hear it preached, when you're reading it, when you're studying it, when you're meditating on it, then you will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. That's a good interpretation of Mark 4:25. in the Passion Translation. If we don't listen to the Word of God with open hearts so that we can receive more revelation, if we don't listen, we'll lose what little we think we have. It's amazing how we can have just a little bit of revelation and think we got it all, think we know it all, and we just got a little tip. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, we don't have no foundation in that truth. But if we have a foundation in the truth, and we have a revelation in that foundation of the truth, when the wind and the floods comes, and it comes to, and life comes to everybody, when the wind and the floods come, our house will stand because what? We are grounded in the Word. We weren't just hearing stuff, but we got grounded in that Word. We read it. We meditated on it. We got revelation in our hearts so that now we can walk in and stand that revelation. No matter what comes and go, we can stand in it. Let's look at Luke 8:18. Luke 8:18, New King James Version. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even that he seems to have, will be taken from him. So you got to be, it's important what you hear, and it's also important how you hear. Don't hear the Word of God with preconceived ideas. Don't hear the Word of God trying to figure out how you can get away with sin or how you can do something you really want to do. That's not the will of God for you. So take heed to how you hear. Have an open heart when you hear the Word of God and say, God, I'm willing to hear whatever you tell me. I'm willing to receive that word, even though that word might not be what I want, what I want to hear. I'm willing to hear what your word is saying. I'm willing to receive that revelation because I need it. Luke 8:18, I'm going to read that same verse in the Passion Translation. So pay careful attention to your heart as you hear my teaching. Pay careful attention to your heart. The Word of God enters through our heart. For to those who have open hearts, even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows. I want revelation to overflow in me. When that revelation overflows, it gives somebody else get a chance to get it too. Even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows. And for those who do not listen with open hearts, what little light they imagine to have will be taken away. Okay. Knowing that, let's look at another important thing. Knowing that in Christ we have everything we need is important. Knowing that in Christ we have everything we need is important. 2 Peter 1:2. New King James Version. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. How are we going to get more grace? Because we can't have more grace. The disciples had great grace in Acts 4:33. So how do we get more grace? And how do we get more peace? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. We're back to truth. We're back to revelation. We're back to the Word of God. If you want truth, if you want revelation to be multiplied to you, and when that's multiplied to you, grace is multiplied. Peace is multiplied. It only comes through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we got to have the Word. We got to have Jesus. We can live in as much grace and peace as we want. You can get as much grace and peace as you want. God ain't got a limit on how much grace and peace you can get. The Bible doesn't say anything about we're limited in grace or we're limited in peace. The early church operated in great grace. Acts 4:33, I just mentioned it. And it reads like this. With great power, the apostle gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. We need as much grace as possible because it's God's enabling ability. God's grace gives us the ability to be and do who we are in Christ. He gives us grace. It's not an effort on our part. It's that grace that enables us to be who we are in Christ. And once we be, our doing comes out of our being. 2 Peter 1:3, New King James Version, that's the next verse. And I'm going to read the third verse and the fourth verse. As his divine power has given to us all things. God's divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him. How have we been given, how have all this divine power given to us all things? How are we going to partake of that life and godliness? Through the knowledge of him, through the knowledge of Jesus, who called us by glory and virtue. Through our knowledge of Jesus, God has given us all things, not just some things, all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we have everything we need to live the life of God in this earth, in this world, and to live godly. There's no such thing we can't live godly. We have been given everything in Christ that we need to live godly. What the fourth verse says this, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. You would think what I just read in Peter was enough. I mean, that's enough to get us from glory for sure. But then it says, we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have escaped the lust of the world, but we have been given great and precious promises so that we can be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature is in us, but it's not automatically going to start manifesting and be seen. We have to partake of it by using what? The promises. Believing the promises that God has given us. Obedience is important. I might go a little over, y'all, but obedience is important. So just hang with me, please. Obedience is important. It's through our obedience to the word that the will of God is carried out in our lives. It's through obedience to the word, to what God tells us in his word, what God speaks to us in our hearts. It's through obedience to the word that the will of God is carried out in our lives. The will of God does not happen automatically in our lives. It's through the obedience of man, humans, us, that the will of God is carried out on the earth. So the will of God is carried out in our own personal lives by how obedient we are to him. And it's also carried out in this world by how obedient humans are to God. That's how the will of God is carried out. Jesus prayed this prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God wants and needs our cooperation. He wants and needs our cooperation. He's not going to make you do something. He's not going to make you do something, but he wants us to obey what he prompts in us. He wants us to obey his word. God does not automatically do everything for us. And it doesn't automatically do everything for us. There's something God does for us. When you receive him as your savior, he automatically gives you a new spirit, make you a new creation. So there's something God does for us. There are things that God has done for us, and there are things that God wants to do through us. Bill Johnson said that, and that is so true. There are things that God has already done for us, but there are some things that won't get done unless we allow God to do them through us. That's where obedience comes in. God wants to do things through us, not just for us, but through us. But everything requires our consent or our responding to what God has already done and what he wants to do. We have to respond to God in obedience. In order for him to do something through us, we have to respond to him. And we even have to respond to him when he wants to do something for us. You ever try to do something for somebody that they didn't want it? You had what they needed, you wanted to help them, but you just couldn't help them because they wouldn't listen? Some of us are hard-headed like that. God wants to do things for us, but we won't let him because we're so hard-headed and are not listening and obeying. How we respond is important. That obedient part. How we respond is important. I'm getting there, y'all. How we respond is important. You can have a positive response or you can have a negative response. You can say yes to God or you can say no to God. We can say yes to God from our heart, through our mouth, or we can say no. There's a parable in the Bible where Jesus was talking about obedience. This man had two sons, and he told one to go and do something, and he said to his father, yes, I'll go do it. And the other son said, no, I ain't gonna do it. I don't wanna do it, I'm not gonna do it. So the son that said, yes, I'll go do it, he didn't do it. Sounds like some of us, don't it? Tell God yes, and we don't even do what we told him we're gonna do. And then the other son that said, no, I don't wanna do it, he decided to go, he did it. Even though he told his daddy he wasn't gonna do it, he did it. So Jesus told him, so which of these two sons did the will of the father? Of course, the one that did what the father said do did the will of the father, even though he told the father, I'm not gonna do it. But then he changed his mind, he repented and went and did it. That one that said, I'm gonna do it and didn't do nothing, did not do the will of the father. I'm gonna leave that alone. If you want to learn more about obedience, comes from how much love we have in our hearts for God. Obedience comes from how much love we have in our hearts for God. Read and study the Gospel of John, especially the 14th chapter of John, and it will tell you about obedience, how God says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John 14, 15. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. We are only able to love him because he first loved us. Jesus showed us real love, unconditional love, looks like Jesus' love for the Father and his love for us. That's what it looks like. He loved the Father and kept his commandments. He didn't tell us nothing that he didn't do himself. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So Jesus loved the Father, so he kept the Father's commandments. The more we obey God, the more it shows our love for him. Because love varies. We can love much, we can love little, according to scripture. We can keep Jesus as our first love, or we can abide by abiding in him. We can keep him as our first love by abiding in him. And we grow in our love for the Lord. The more we know how he loves us, the more our love increases for him, and the more we're able to obey him. So we need to know how much God loves us. And the word of God lets us know how much he loves us. Spending time with him, he will let us know how much he loves us. And the more we know how much he loves us, that's the more we're able to love him. And the more we're able to love him, the more easier it gets to obey him. It's easy to obey somebody if you know how much they love you, because you know that whatever he tells you to do, it's going to work out good for you, and it's for your best interest, because he always has our best interest at heart. He always wants the best for us. John Piper says this, and then we're going to get to the revelation that God showed me. Abiding is the act of receiving and trusting all that God has and is for us in Christ. Abiding. When we keep Jesus as our first love, we are abiding in him. If he's the first in your life, if he's number one in your life, if you give him the preeminence in your life, you allow him to be Lord of your life, then you're abiding in him. And abiding is the act of receiving and trusting all that God has and is for us in Christ. Remember what the word of God said? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done to you. Same thing here. Abiding is the act of receiving and trusting all that God has and is for us in Christ. When you're really abiding in that love, really walking in that love he has for you, and returning that love back to him, you're abiding in him as your first love, then you're constantly what? Receiving and trusting him for all that Christ has for you. And it's easy for us to do that at that place. But all of us has to get to that place. Now I'm going to share with you the revelation that God gave me about receiving through faith. And we're going to do that by looking at the woman with the issue of blood. So if you want to turn to Mark 5:27, you can. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. I'm going to do Mark 5:27 and 28. I'm going to do Mark 11:23 and 24. I'm going to do Mark 5:29. in Hebrews 11:1. And that'll be all the rest of my scriptures, but I'm going to say them again to you. So the woman with the issue of blood, this is how God showed me what he wanted me to see. The woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5:27. You can only receive by believing, and believing is receiving. You can only receive by believing, and believing is receiving. I'm going to talk more about that. Let's read Mark 5:27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. The woman with issue of blood didn't hear Jesus in person. The scripture says that, but she heard about him. And we don't know whether it was a week went by in between her hearing about him and her going behind him in the crowd and touching his garment. We don't know how much time went by. We don't know how much time she had to think about what she heard. She could have heard it from the blind man. They said he touched my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and I came back seeing. We don't know who she heard it from. She could have heard it from the 10 lepers that were unclean, like she was unclean. And one of them could have said, well, you know, he told me to go show myself to the priest, and as I went, I was healed. We don't know who told her about Jesus, but I'm quite sure it was somebody that had been healed. I don't have any proof about that, but somebody gave her their testimony because of being healed by Jesus, because she took it, she heard it, and she believed someone else's testimony. She believed what she heard. She believed what she heard. Let's go to Mark 5:28. And I'm thinking she didn't just believe it, but I'm thinking, you know, right off what she heard, I'm thinking about she probably thought about it. She probably meditated on what she heard. She took that word and went over it in her mind, probably thinking about what she heard, thinking about what Jesus did, thinking about what he was capable of doing. You know, and there were other occasions where people were healed by touching him. So she might have heard one of those testimonies about just touching him and getting healed. Let's read Mark 5:28. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now she said this before she actually went and did it. She said this before she did what she said she was going to do. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. The woman decided to believe what she heard about Jesus. Like I said, we don't know who told her. Somebody told her. Somebody probably got healed and came and told her about it. Other people have gotten healed, you can see in scripture, about by touching him. And so somebody might have told her that. So we see from this that faith was her decision. Faith is a decision. You got to decide to believe. You got to decide to believe the word of God. You make a decision. And at that point of decision, faith is there. We can either choose to believe God or we can choose not to believe God. Wherever your faith is, you know, everybody's faith is at different places. You might believe God that you're going to be healed by an operation. You might believe that you're going to get finances through finding a job, or God's going to give you favor. But wherever your faith is, you got to make a decision to put your faith where you know you can believe at your level. I can't make a faith decision about somebody else's level of faith. I got to make a faith decision about where my faith is. Okay, Lord, where's my faith? Where's my faith? Where am I at this thing? Maybe I'm in a wheelchair and I can't walk and I'm paralyzed. Okay, maybe my faith is I'm going to believe God I can wiggle my big toe. Right now, that might be all the faith I have. That may be my faith level. So I make a faith decision. I'm believing God that I can wiggle my big toe. And so what I do, I start wiggling that big toe. Believing and wiggling. So it's your faith level. Wherever your faith is, believe God for your level. You can't believe somebody for make a decision for somebody else's faith level. You gotta see where you are. What can you believe God for at your faith level? And you know what? That faith level depends on what? How much word you got in you? How much revelation you got in you of the word of God? That determines that faith level. So let's ask the question about these scriptures that we just read about the woman. She said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Question number one, when did the woman believe? I want you to think about that. When did the woman believe? Question number two, when did she receive? When did she believe? And when did she receive? Before God gave me a better understanding of this, I would have said she believed when she heard about Jesus and she received when she touched his garment. That's what I would have said. I would have said this before God corrected me on this. I would have said that she believed when she heard about Jesus and she received when she touched his garment. That's what I would have said probably a few weeks ago about that scripture. But nowhere, I want you to listen to this now, but nowhere in scripture are we told to separate our believing from our receiving. Nowhere in scripture are we told to separate our believing from our receiving. Jesus never separated the person's believing from their receiving. Okay, let's look at Mark 11:23. See, we get hung up on I believe, but I'm trying to receive. No such thing. No such thing. The Bible does not separate believing from receiving. I'm going to go on. You can agree or disagree. I mean, that's your prerogative. Let's read Mark 11:23. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Mark 11:23, Jesus is talking, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. When is he going to have it? When he believe it and say it. He's going to have it when he believe it and he say it. Whether he see it or not, whether he feel it or not, receiving and believing go together. We don't separate them. When you believe, you receive. When you receive, you believe. It's so simple. Let's look at Mark 11:24 in the Passion Translation. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. According to Jesus, believing and receiving are inseparable. You can't say you believe if you haven't received. You can't receive unless you believe. They go together. They're inseparable. Believing and receiving are inseparable. They go together. When you believe, you are going to receive. And no such thing as believing and not having received. You believe and receive together. They go together. Let's look at Mark 5:29. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So the woman didn't dictate to Jesus what he should do. She didn't even talk to him. She just took actions of faith that caused what she had already believed and received to become reality in her body. So her going and touching his garment was an action of her faith. There was an action of her believing and receiving. She had already believed it and received it in her heart. She knew it. She knew it. She knew it. She believed and received in her heart. So her going and touching his garment was just an action that she did because she had believed and received it already. I can imagine that woman. In her imagination, she believed she received it. She had believed that she received it before she even did it. She saw it done before she even did it. In her imagination, she saw this thing. She saw her believing it and receiving it before she even did it. So actually, she believed and received before she actually took the action to go and touch his garment. She actually believed and received when she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. That was her faith statement. That was her faith statement of what she had believed and received. That's what she believed, and that's what happened. She made a faith statement. Receiving is simply believing that it's done. And believing is simply receiving that it's done. Receiving is simply believing that it's done. Receiving is simply believing that it's done. And believing is simply receiving that it's done. I mean, you can just switch them back and forth. Receiving is simply believing that it's done. And believing is simply receiving that it's done. And that's on whatever level your faith is. Don't try to believe for something that your faith is not at that level. Start with what you can believe for. I mean, start out. I mean, you can take steps of faith and build your faith up. Build your faith up. Build your faith up. Build your faith up. But start where you can believe. Start where you can believe. Start out there. And then increase your faith as you do what? As you increase the word of God in your life, as you increase your revelation, as you spend time in the word of God, as you get to know the truth. There is one thing that holds us back and keeps us from believing and receiving, and that's fear. There's one thing, one main thing, that holds us back and keeps us from believing and receiving, and that's fear. I'm not, you know, doubt will keep you back too. But if you got doubt, you should know you got doubt. You should be honest about yourself and know you got doubt. So doubt will hold you back. Well, not right now, I want to talk about fear. There's one thing that holds us back and keeps us from believing and receiving, and that's fear. Fear is the enemy to faith. Fear is the enemy to your faith. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear opens the door to defeat and shuts out faith. Fear opens the door to defeat and shuts out faith. Please, please realize you got fear. Acknowledge that you got fear. Take that fear to God. So what are some fears you might be having or experiencing? Fear of being disappointed would keep our faith from working. Fear of being disappointed. Okay, God, I've been prayed for I don't know how many times, and I'm still sick. So you probably, if you said that or think that, you got a fear of being disappointed. And that'll keep your faith from working. You know, sometimes we have all kinds of fears about different things. But recognize you got a fear. Recognize there is a fear there of being disappointed. A fear of what people are going to say if it don't happen. A fear of if I pray for somebody, they might die. A fear of what if I pray for them and they don't get healed. Those are my fears. I didn't have no fear about myself healing because I knew how to believe for myself. But I had this fear, okay, God, what if I pray for somebody and they die? You know, what if I pray for somebody and they don't get healed? You know, if those things happen and you're thinking about it, that's a fear of disappointment. You have a fear of being disappointed if what you're believing for don't happen. There's a fear of disappointment there if you have a fear of being disappointed in what you believe for don't work or don't happen. You got to deal with that fear. Take it to the Lord. Confess what's true about your thoughts and feelings, even the fear, even that fear to God. Confess that thought or that feeling that you're having is coming from fear. And take it to the Lord. It's nothing wrong with being honest with yourself and being honest before God. Confession means tell the truth. God loves honest confession. Okay, God, I want this, but I'm afraid if I ask for it, I've done asked for it 100 times and I ain't got it. I'm afraid if I ask for it again or if I try to believe for it again, it won't happen. Take that thing to the Lord and then you get in the word of God. You get in the word of God for whatever it is you might have a fear about. Get in that word. Let that truth and that revelation, you know, pound in your heart. Get in your heart. Fill your heart with the truth of the word of God. And that truth will get rid of that fear. It'll get rid of fear. Hebrews 11:1. I'm almost through, y'all. Bear with me. Now, faith brings our hopes into reality. Hebrews 11:1, I'm reading the Passion Translation. Now, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the thing we long for. It's all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. The woman with issue of blood didn't need to go and touch the hem of Jesus' garment to know that her faith was there and that it was working. She didn't need to go and do it to know she had it. That's a good way to put it. She didn't need to go and touch his garment to know she was healed. She didn't need to know that. She didn't need to know that. Okay, Dan, I'm going to take my time. She didn't need to know that. She just needed to know that when she believed and received, because you can't believe without receiving, you can't receive without believing. She knew that she had what she wanted. And so she just went act out, put her action into what she said she was going to do. When Jesus healed a lot of people, with the man with the that was blind, he anointed his eyes and told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. That man knew right then that he had what he wanted. He knew right then that I have my sight. All I got to do is do what he told me to do. He told me to go and wash this stuff out of my eyes, and once I wash it out, you know, I got my sight. The blind man beside the road that was begging and had his begging garment on, the moment Jesus said he could come, he knew, okay, I got his attention. And so I know now I got what I want. And so he threw that beggar garment aside. The sign, okay, I ain't a begging no more because I got my sight. So faith brings our hope into reality and become the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It's all the evidence we require to prove what is still unseen. Your faith is all you need to prove to you that you have what you believe for. That's all you need. Hebrews 11:1, Message Translation. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Our faith is our handle on what we can't see. I don't separate my believing from my receiving. Once I believe, I receive. Once I receive, I believe. That's faith. Faith is not just believing. Faith is believing and receiving. Both together, that's called faith. Faith is responding to what you believe. The woman responded to what she believed. The other examples I gave you, they all responded to what they believe. They all responded to what they believe. You can't say you have faith for something if you haven't received it. You can't say you have faith for something if you haven't received it. Ouch to me too. Because if you have faith, then you what? You believed and you received. Just admit what you have faith for and allow Holy Spirit to partner with you. So what do you have faith for? You have some faith. Faith is in you. But what faith have you developed right now that you can use? Because faith has to be developed. All of us have the measure of faith. All of us have muscles. I got muscles, you got muscles in our body. But not all of us have developed our muscles. So some people are stronger than others. Their muscles are stronger than others because they what? They have developed their muscle. They have exercised and developed those muscles. Some of us, our faith muscles are stronger than others because we have what? We have developed those faith muscles. How do you develop your faith muscles? You develop your faith muscles by knowing the word of God, getting that revelation in your heart so that you can believe and receive. Once you have that revelation and you can believe and receive, then you can put that revelation to work and receive in this realm. Once you believe and receive, you can put that faith to work And what you are have believed and received becomes reality in this realm. The more we use our faith, the more our faith develops. The more we use, when I say develop, the stronger it gets, the more it will work for us. The more we develop it, the more we use it, the more it will work for us. Nothing gets stronger if you don't use it. Nothing gets stronger if you don't use it. If you lay on a bed and don't move and don't go anywhere, your muscles get weak. It's only by using those muscles they get stronger. It's only by using our faith muscles that they get stronger. But the thing is, we can always start exercising. I don't care what age you are, you can start developing your muscles and start exercising. So wherever your level of faith is, you can always start from there and start developing your faith and get stronger and allow your faith to get stronger. So faith is believing and receiving. Our receiving is provided, our receiving is proved by our actions. Your actions are going to prove whether or not you have received what you believe, which happens at the same time. Had the woman not went and touched Jesus' garment, it would have proven that she really didn't have faith. She really didn't believe. But by her going and touching his garment, that proved, her actions proved her faith. Her actions proved her faith. The DNA of faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So there's a DNA of faith. But faith is really believing and receiving all together. Believing and receiving. So in my conclusion, believe, receive. Believe, receive. Stop striving and stop stressing to receive victory. Stop striving and stop stressing to receive. Stop striving, stop stressing to receive. Jesus won the victory for us. Jesus won the victory for us. Victory is present the moment you choose to believe. Jesus won the victory for us. I don't care what you're going through, what you're struggling. Jesus has already won that victory for you. He's already won it for me. So I don't have to strive and struggle to receive what he's already won for me. I have to forget about that and just believe. Once I believe, I receive. I can't believe without receiving. So he's already won it for me. I already have the victory. Victory is present the moment you choose to believe. The moment you choose to believe, victory is present. And I want to say this too. We don't do things for Jesus. We do things with him. We don't do things for Jesus. We do things with him. The mentality of doing things for God is a work mentality and not grace. The mentality of doing things for God is a work mentality, not grace. Servants do things for their masters. But the Bible says when a servant has done everything he's supposed to do, he ain't got nothing to brag about because he's a servant. He'd only done what he was supposed to do. But we're not servants. We are sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters. So we are not working for God. We don't want that mentality. That's a mentality of work and not grace. We don't do things for Jesus. We do things with Jesus. God is not about us serving him, but about us being with him and receiving his love and partnering with him. God is not about us serving him. God is not about, you know, you getting you to do this for him and do that for him. He wants to cooperate and partner with him. He's all about us being with him, being with him. He's all about us receiving his love and partnering with him. He wants us to partner with him. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. So God is not about us serving him, but being with him, receiving his love, and partnering with him. We believe and we receive with Jesus right with us. Whoever you are, whatever your problem is, whatever you're contending for, know that he's right there with you. He's not somewhere else. He's right there with you. He's partnering with you. You're not alone in believing and receiving. He's right there with you. He wants you to walk in all that he has for you more than you do. He wants you to receive every promise more than you do. He wants you to walk in his victory more than you do. So he's right there with you. It's never you doing anything alone by yourself. It's never anything you trying to strive and stress with this and that for victory. He has won the victory for us. He won the victory for us, not for himself, but for us. So he's right there with you to help you walk in that victory, to believe that victory, to know that it's yours. So believing is receiving. You don't wait to receive. The moment you believe, that's when you receive. That's when you receive. And it has nothing to do about you seeing the reality of what you believe out here, because that's not how faith works. Faith is taking a handle on that that's not seen yet. Remember I said, not seen yet. Just because it's not seen yet doesn't mean it don't exist. That's because somebody don't see it yet don't mean it doesn't exist. Just because they don't see it in you yet doesn't mean it don't exist. He's right there with you. He's right there with you. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the service today. We thank you for the word. We thank you for all those that are on today. God, we just love you. We just praise you. We just give you glory and we magnify your name. We thank you for being with us. You are with us. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. You are with us. You're with us in every situation, everything. You're with us. And you're with us there because you have given us the victory. You have won the victory for us. You won it for us, and now you're still with us, making sure that victory is what we walk into. Making sure that victory becomes our reality. So God, we say thank you. We give you all the glory, give you all the praise, and we magnify your name. And God, just help us. Whatever we need to give to you, whatever we need to face, Lord, we want to be able to give that thing to you, to look at it and say, okay, God, this is how it is, but it sure ain't the way I want it to be. So I give it to you. Because you know how to make it the way you want it to be. And I want it to be the way you want it to be. So God, I say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.